Hey everyone, welcome back to a Dynasty Team Preview here on Sal Harmon. I am Eric Vanek, and you can find me on Twitter at EricVanekNFL, joined by Koopa. And today we are going to go over the last team here in the NFC South, which is the Tampa Bay Bucks, the division-winning Tampa Bay Bucks. So head coach is Todd Bowles. The new offensive coordinator is going to be Liam Coem, who takes over for Dave Canales, who went to Carolina. Key players who left? Nobody. This is really rare. Targets vacated air yards. 9 targets, 49 air yards. So they are literally running it back with the same team as last year with a couple of draft picks that they brought in on the offensive side of the ball. But other than that, it is status quo here for Tampa Bay. Quarterbacks, go ahead and talk about those, Koopa.
Yeah, so we have Baker Mayfield, who did much better than expected last year. The question is whether that is a result of Dave Canales or whether that's just a result of Baker Mayfield getting prematurely cut by the Browns. Or I don't know. It wasn't cut. It was. He moved around from the Browns to the Panthers to the Rams. Like, he just bounced around the league and he found a home where he's actually liked by the team. And they said, yeah, you can come in and be the starter. And he's got maybe that change of scenery is just what he needed. So it'll be interesting to see whether he keeps up what he did last year or whether it's a little bit more like the Geno Smith in Seattle situation where Canales left and Geno Smith regressed a lot, especially when you're talking from a fantasy point of view. That's a big thing to watch out for this team is, does Baker Mayfield do as well as he did last year, or does he regress? And backup, they've had Kyle Trask around for forever, and he's never gotten a shot at the starting job, but they must like him in some way for him to still be on this roster. And so my gut says Kyle Trask ends up being the backup again here this year. He's never really been needed to play in any games, or at least for any extended period of time. So Kyle Trask is just one of those guys, like, I guess I'll have him as a backup, but the fact that we have never seen him really in anything is kind of worrying in terms of, like, what could you expect out of him for fantasy purposes. And they also have John Wolford and Zach Anekstad, a 2024 UDFA from Illinois State. Last year, they only kept two quarterbacks on the initial 53-man roster. I think Baker Mayfield and Kyle Trask are definitely those two guys. If they keep a third guy, it's probably John Wolford, but he's also somebody that has never really impressed me, and I'm pretty sure he's bounced around on some waiver wires and practice squads of teams in the past, so I would not be surprised if that's the case here again as well.
Yeah, I agree with that. If they do keep a third, it would be Wolford, but probably cut him, and then he probably signs on their practice squad afterwards. But yeah, I mean, Mayfield had his best year, or one of his best years here with Dave Canales last year. We'll see if he can continue it here with Liam Coem. Kyle Trask, I think this is his last year of his rookie deal because he's been here through Tom Brady and now Baker Mayfield. So we'll see what Kyle Trask can do if he ever gets that shot. And he might get that shot this year once we go over the offensive line. Running backs here, so Rashad White is the starter. His PFF grade last year was only 67.5, 41st to 59, but he had a really good year statistically for fantasy, but not a very good year PFF grade-wise. So that kind of concerns me maybe for the future that he could probably easily be upgraded on, and especially next year with next year's RB class supposed to have a lot of talent. Bucky Irving, they drafted in the 4th round. Chase Edmonds is still kicking around. UDFA from last year was Sean Tucker from Syracuse. They have brought in 2 UDFAs this year as well in DJ Williams from Arizona and Raymond Jefferson from Kentucky. They kept 4 running backs on the 53-man roster last year, and I could probably see it being the same this year with White, Irving, Edmonds, and Tucker. If they do just go 3, I think Tucker would be the guy who ends up getting cut there. Brugler on Bucky Brooks or Bucky Irving. Overall, Irving is undersized and underpowered, but he has pass catching skills and instinctive run qualities to quickly sort and make sharp directional cuts to daylight. He projects as an NFL complementary back who can be productive change up in a committee, like former North Carolina running back Michael Carter. His PFF grade last year was 88.2, 186 carries, 1,192 yards, 11 touchdowns, 55 catches, 61 targets for 395 yards, 73.4 in a zone run scheme, and 93.4 in a gap run scheme. 743 yards after contact were 30th in the country, and 69 missed tackles for us tied 11th. I definitely like Bucky Brooks quite a bit. Or Bucky, where I keep thinking of the NFL Network guy, Bucky Irving. I think he can be somebody that could definitely make an impact on this team this year as kind of like that change of pace, be that pass catching weapon, maybe give Rashad White a little bit of a breather there in the pass game. But overall, he's probably only a guy that's going to get maybe 8 to 10 touches a game would probably be my max for him. So we'll see how he does. What are your thoughts here on the running backs?
Yeah, I think that Rashad White, he's going to be a solid running back, but he's not going to do as much as he did last year. I felt like last year their problem was they didn't have anyone good behind Rashad White to kind of spell him, and Bucky Irving, they're hoping, is that guy this year. If you look at speed score statistics and how that translates to fantasy and things like that, I would not expect Bucky Irving to be something relevant that you should be betting on for your fantasy teams, but he might be enough to kind of help cap the ceiling of Rashad White a little bit. Chase Edmonds and Sean Tucker, I think, are both solid depth running backs. And so I think that they do end up keeping four running backs, and it ends up being those four guys. And unfortunately for DJ Williams and Ramon Jefferson, I think their best shot is to try and land on the practice squad.
Yeah, now looking here at the wide receivers, Mike Evans obviously is the lead guy, just got a new contract. His PFF grade last year was 81.5, 17th of 128. Chris Godwin is the second guy. He is going to be a free agent at the end of the season. His PFF grade last year was 77.5. 28th of 128. Jalen McMillan, who they drafted in the third round out of Washington, one of my favorite players in the draft. Trey Palmer, who had a decent season towards the end of the year, but if you look at his PFF grade last year, 53.3, 113th of 128, so that was not very good. Rakeem Jarrett, a UDFA from last year. They just signed Sterling Shepard, who has about 17 surgeries to his name. Cephas Johnson, Ryan Miller, Rally Webb, Cody Thompson, Latrell Jones, a UDFA from Southern Miss, Cameron Johnson, a UDFA from Barton College, and Tanner Canoe, UDFA from Eastern Michigan. They kept five on their initial 53-man roster last year. So if I had to guess, it's going to be Evans, Godwin, McMillan, Palmer, and probably between Rakeem Jarrett and Sterling Shepard, or they could keep six. We'll see how that goes this year. Real quick here on Jalen McMillan. Overall, McMillan will need to prove he can handle the physicality of playing inside at the next level, but he has three-level potential as a pass catcher and will be an intriguing option for a team that prioritizes length and speed from the slot. Stylistically, his game reminds me of a juiced-up Jakobi Meyers. His PFF grade last year, now granted he missed some games at Washington last year and was playing a little bit hurt, but 70.3 was his PFF grade, 45 catches, 63 targets, 553 yards, 5 touchdowns, 259 snaps, 231 came from the slot, 15 out wide, so he's definitely a slot-only player. 61.5 was his man coverage grade, 6.4 yak, tied for 112th, 9.6 ADOT, 6 for 206 on deep balls, and 39 catches for 489 yards from the slot. So pretty much all of his production came out of the slot last year for them. I really like him. He's already getting some buzz at OTAs. I think he takes over for Trey Palmer as their slot guy, and then Godwin can kind of focus more on outside stuff. Koopa, go ahead with your thoughts here on the wide receivers.
Yeah, I agree with you on Jalen McMillan there. I personally had him ranked higher than Jalen Polk coming into the NFL draft, and I think that they are much closer in terms of NFL expectations as well. I see Jalen McMillan as being a solid slot wide receiver. I agree that he can be the number three wide receiver on this team. But Mike Evans and Chris Godwin are going to be the two top guys, and I would not be surprised to see that Chris Godwin is a solid like wide receiver three type this year, which would put him as better than his current projection. So his projection is wide receiver 40. If he's a wide receiver three, he would be in that probably like wide receiver 30 to 36 range. So I just kind of see him being a little bit better than projections for this year. But Mike Evans obviously is the number one guy that you want. Trey Palmer is probably just going to make the roster. I think he's good enough to continue to do that. And then the real question is what happens after that? Probably Rakeem Jarrett would be my guess, and then the last spot could be open to anyone else, or they could just only go with those five. Sterling Shepard, I think, might have the leg up, but realistically, I mean, he couldn't. It, last year on the Giants, he only managed to get himself 10 receptions, and they had like nothing in that wide receiver room. So if you can't get 10 re more than 10 reception, if you can't at least get one reception per game on a team that has like no wide receivers, it's kind of worrying to me. So that's my biggest concern there. But the other thing to watch out for is literally any of these wide receivers could end up showing themselves as a punt returner or kick returner. Just a little bit of a spoiler to talk about that. They did cut Devin Tompkins, who did those roles for them last year, and I thought for sure that he was going to have that role again this year. And they just said, nope, we're cutting you, because he ended up getting, I think it was like he got some sort of like thigh injury or something like that. So they cut him with an injury designation. And so he's going to end up not being on the team for this upcoming season. And so they need to have somebody else take both of those roles. So look out for if literally any of these guys could be taking one of those jobs in camp, and that could vault them into that fifth wide receiver conversation.
Taking a look at the tight ends now. Cade Otton is the starter. PFF grade last year at 56.8, 48th of 72. So not really great PFF numbers there for a starting tight end, but he did have a productive season. Co-keefed Payne Durham, a 2023 fifth rounder. Devin Culp, who they drafted in the seventh round. David Wells and Tanner Tolua are there. They kept four tight ends last year. Probably going to do the same again with Otten, Kieft, Durham, and one of Culp or David Wells. Wells made the team last year. Had a couple decent preseason games, but we'll see if maybe they like Culp a little better for the tight ends. Go ahead with your thoughts on these tight ends, real quick.
Yeah, I think that Cade Otton, he's a much better fantasy producer than actual NFL tight end, but hey, that we're playing fantasy, not an NFL world. We aren't an NFL GM, so that's fine for us, but even then he's still only going to be like a mid to back end tight end too. So you're really only interested in him in either best ball leagues or if you have a two tight end lineup league. And then all the rest of the guys, yeah, I think Co-Keeft and Payne Durham definitely make the team. And then it's a matter of do they decide to keep a fourth guy? Do they? And if they do, it might be Culp, might be Wells. I think unfortunately Tanner Taula or Tolua is on his way out.
All right, so now looking at the offensive line last year. So last year they were 13, so a little better than average. And they dealt with a shit ton of injuries last year, too. Just kind of looking at it right now, it's kind of like what we talked about with the Panthers. Last year, the guards were a big problem for the Panthers, and I could see it being a big problem this year for the Bucks too. So obviously, left tackle is Tristan Wirfs, one of the best left tackles in the league. His PFF grade last year was 83.5, which was fifth of 81, and Justin Skoll is his backup. Left guard is Ben Bredesen, a PFF grade last year of 42.1, which was seventh of 79, so terrible. Backup is Elijah Klein, a sixth rounder who they drafted this year, who I didn't see him in Brugler's guide with a write-up, so I don't have anything for that. All right, so Graham Barton is the center here. He is a first-round pick this year from Duke. Brugler on Barton real quick. Overall, Barton will have adjustments to make as he moves inside, but he has athletic feet and strong hands and works hard to stay attached to blocks through the whistle. He projects as an above-average NFL starter at guard or center, reminiscent of Elijah Vera Tucker. So he was a guy who started at left tackle for Duke last year and can play literally all five line positions, but he's going to be the center, which is very important here. So right guard is Cody Mock. His PFF grade last year was 43.9, which was 74th of 79. So obviously left guard was 75th, and this right guard is 74, so not good. They can have some issues there at guard. Sua Apta is the backup. Right tackle, Luke Goedeke, PFF grade last year of 73.4. He's 27th of 81 at the tackle spot, and Brandon Walton is his backup. So for this offensive line, it's going to come down to these guards. Can they stay healthy? Can they actually be good? I think that's going to have a lot to do with this offensive line this year, so we'll see what happens. Kick returner, punt returner, pretty easy on this one since it's only two names. So go ahead, Koopa, with the final two names.
Yeah, right now the kick returner, our lads list it as Bucky Irving. It could literally be anybody. And same with punt returner, it's listed right now as Jalen McMillan by our lads. The fact that Devin Tompkins, he got released with an injury settlement and all those sorts of things. Like, he was their guy for the past couple of years in Tampa Bay, and so. This is wide open for literally anybody, and it could very well determine who ends up making the roster or not, especially at that wide receiver position.
All right, so our final thoughts here on Tampa Bay. I think it's going to come a lot down to the offensive line play. Can those guys do what they did last year, stay healthy, get better? Those right guards and left guards were pretty terrible last year, so hopefully they can at least get semi-decent play there. I still think Mike Evans should be a stud this year. Rashad White should get a lot of work. Baker Mayfield's probably a quarterback too, kind of like he was last year. I see a lot of people are still drafting him kind of high, and like they take him over Will Levis and Bo Nix and stuff like that. I could see it, but I wouldn't be shocked if he is worse than those guys this year.
Yeah, I think Baker Mayfield is somebody that, especially when you're talking about like best ball leagues, like he had some good best ball weeks last year. But if you think he has some amount of regression, like he's probably back end quarterback too, realistically, this coming year. But have Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, you're interested in those guys. Rashad White, you're interested in him. But I just don't think this team necessarily has the firepower to really put somebody up there like in the league winner kind of conversation.
Yeah. All right, that's going to be it for the Tampa Bay Bucks and the whole NFC South for this week, guys. Join us next week where we will go over the NFC West and wrap this baby up. So appreciate you guys. South Harmon FF, Eric Vanek NFL on Twitter, Dynasty Koopa on Twitter as well. Make sure you guys follow us there, and we'll see you next week.